my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Thank you, Sharon. Very blessed. Thank you, Dave. Very blessed. Psalm 119, verse 75. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. Now, the top part of that verse is easy. The bottom part is not. The bottom part is not. To understand this verse, in my opinion, we must look at another verse that says the exact same thing in a little different way, and that's Hebrews 12:6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. That second line, that thou in faithfulness, you could change that word to love. In faithfulness is no different than a parent who disciplines his child out of love. Okay, I care about you, and so I have, in fact, afflicted you. I saw Dottie today, and Dottie, if you didn't know better, you'd think she was getting better. Okay, she ate good. She was alert, happy, just talking, that sort of thing. The thing we have to remember is the fact that she's no longer being flooded with powerful medications. And so her body is not having the side effects of all those medications. Plus the fact they've got her on a low dose of morphine, which is making her a little happy. Okay? This upturn in Dottie's life is a gift from God, but it cannot last unless God does a miracle, because her body is in fact deteriorating. I want to encourage you to go and see her while she still is in a position to be able to talk to you and that sort of thing, because there's no telling how long this is going to last. That being said, while we were there, her sister was there, and Bruce was talking, and Bruce made a statement about if someone does something wrong, God just might punish them. And the question was asked, even to this point. Even to this point? In other words, whether it's Dottie or whether it's Bruce or whether it's somebody in the family, but is it possible that someone in the family has done something wrong that's causing this to happen to Dottie? And the sister said, God wouldn't do that. I said, hold on now. Just a second. I said, don't forget, one sin is all it takes to be cast into hell. Anything less than hell is a gift. And I was able to go in and explain how that sometimes God brings us through difficult situations to accomplish something much bigger than just solving our problem. And it is, in fact, love. But we have to choose to trust God. We have to choose to trust God. Otherwise, everything in life seems out of control. Why would God let such and such a thing happen? Well, perhaps there's something we don't know. For the record, there is something we don't know. There's a massive amount of things that we don't know. But how do we know we can trust Him? Because God's judgments, His Word, is right. I'll try to read my Bible every day this week, will you?
Yep, sure.
Pray for direction regarding church security. We're going to do this for about 3 more weeks. I want to encourage you, as you pray, watch for GPS. Okay? GPS is our 3 ways to determine what God wants. God's Word should be included in this searching God's will. What does the Bible say about it? Now, for the record, if you want a verse, I can give you a verse for each side of it. Okay? Don't just pick out a verse and say, this is what God wants. Because that's not enough. We can twist God's Word and make it say anything we want. Add to that the P of pressure or circumstances. Now, a lot of times in these situations, all we see is the pressure or circumstances. Here's the problem. This person may see something totally different in circumstances than this person does, and now you got these people going against each other. As a church, we're supposed to be unified, and so we have to work through these pressure or circumstances.
Yes.
And so we don't get to focus on just that. We put the two together, God's Word and the circumstances, but then there's that third one of leadership of the Holy Spirit. Okay? This is where it's most closely related to intuition. I just know this is what God wants. I can't explain it. I just know it. But that one by itself is not enough, because it's so easy to twist that because I want this, and so it must be what God wants. Okay? You got to use all three. And I want to encourage you, as you seek God's will, share it with each other. Okay? Discuss it. We are a body of Christ. And not every one of us is the eye. Some of us are the ear. Some of us are the nose. Some of us are the fingertips. You have five senses in your body. You also have five senses in the body of Christ. Maybe more than that. That's why it's important we discuss these things with each other. But don't just sit back and say, I don't care. That's the worst. Yeah. If you say, I don't care, you're saying, God, I don't care. Okay? God, what do you want? Watch for the answer in three different ways, and you'll be surprised how we will find what God wants over the next 3 weeks. Father, give us wisdom with this. Michelle found an article today in a survey of 10 churches. 5 churches locked their doors. 4 did not lock their doors. 1 church had not made a decision. But this is something that everyone is talking about, and rightly so. But help us not just to react to the circumstances. Help us to seek what you want. Help us to use your word along with the pressure and, most important, the leadership of the Holy Spirit. All three of those things to know that we're doing what you want. And then if something happens one way or the other, we can sit back and say, you know what? That's what God wanted because we sought out His will. We don't ever have to go back and say we should have done something because we know we did what you want in your church. And there's no safer place to be than that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Chronological study of the Bible, 1 Samuel 22. Now I can help you. This, I believe, is the primary reason why, quote-unquote, bad things happen to good people. By the way, there are no good people. Everyone deserves to go to hell.
Yeah.
There are no bad things in the life of God's people because God works all things together for good. But just for the sake of generalization, why bad things happen to good people, now I can help you, I think is the primary reason why we go through difficult situations. Verse 1, David therefore departed thence from Gath and the Philistines and escaped to the cave of Adullam, which is back in Judah. Probably not a great distance because the Philistines were in fact in Judah. He escaped to the cave of Adullam, and when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. David was able to help them because of his problems. They were able to help David because of their problems. You put the two together, and you got something God can work with. Now, we're going to shrink that down. 1 Samuel chapter 22 does not directly say what I'm about to teach. That being said, you are free to ignore tonight's entire sermon. You're free to ignore it. It does not directly say what I'm about to teach, but I believe it is what happened. I'm convinced it is what happened. In verses 1 and 2, David's parents arrive. Yeah. And in verse 3, which we haven't got to yet, he sends them away. Almost that fast. I believe strongly that in between verses 2 and 3, there are 4 psalms that are written. David is too emotional to let this massive change in his circumstances just slip by. That's not his character. I believe he takes some time in between verses 2 and verses 3 to enjoy some time with these people that's finally showed up. He has been alone and afraid for so long that he has, in my opinion, he has to be expressing himself. I believe Psalm 27 gets written almost immediately after this group, including his family, show up. I believe it happens almost immediately. Verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Now this seems to be a total contradiction from where David has been for so long. Unless something big has just changed. Unless something big has just changed. "The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" David has just seen what God can do, in my opinion. He went from being so alone that he went to the Philistines, in my opinion, just to get away from Saul, found out that wasn't the answer, having to go back, right back into his own problems that had not changed, and suddenly he's got a group of 400 with him. How did that feel? Well, let me ask you a question. How would it feel if we had 400 show up tonight? Okay. Ratio-wise, it's more like 8,000. Because David was by himself and added 400 to it. We're about 30-ish. So we would have to add about 8,000 to that. That's how much his circumstances changed literally in a moment. He felt alone and afraid for so long. Now he has 400 with him, including his family. Now this does not include Michael, his wife. This includes the family that he was raised in, all of his brothers, his father, and his mother. "When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell," and that did in fact happen. However, he runs to the Philistines thinking that may not always happen. Now he's pretty sure it's going to happen because God has done something big in his life. "Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident." Now this seems to not fit the way he's been talking unless something big has just happened in his life. "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." Now this verse seems to take my timeline and throw it away. The temple won't be built until after David is dead. The same word, Hebrew word 1964, is used in 1 Samuel 1:9, which is before 1 Samuel 22. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat on a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. It's the tabernacle. It's the tabernacle. 5. "For in time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion." Now don't forget, David is still hiding in a cave. He's not allowed to go into the general assembly of Israel. But he finally feels safe. Catch this though. He always was safe. He was always safe. He always had God defending him. Just now he feels it. "In the secret of his tabernacle or his house shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." Again, it seems to not fit the timeline unless something big like 400 people just show up, including your family. "And now shall mine head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy," which he's not been permitted to do because he's an outcast. "I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." And this is absolutely the key to make it through difficult spots in life. Praising God. Nothing spooky, but simply saying, "God did this, God did this, God did this," the way Ray prayed tonight. "Thank you for this, thank you for that." It's giving God credit for what He's already done. It helps us see what He's doing now. "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me." This verse lets us know that he still has problems. "When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation." Verse 10 is crucial. "When my father and my mother forsake," the word there means leave. He's not saying they're going to turn their backs on Him. He's just simply saying, when they're not with me anymore, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. This verse is key to placing this psalm chronologically here. He knows his parents are not safe with him and the fighting that must be done. I believe there's no other place in all of Scripture this psalm fits except between 1 Samuel 22, verses 2 and verse 3. There's no other place for it. It has to fit right here. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. David knows that this upturn in events does not mean his problems are suddenly all gone. Very much like Dottie. Just because things seem to be all better does not mean they are, in fact, all better. If we see them through God's eyes, they were never bad in the first place. They were never bad in the first place. Deliver me not over unto will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I believe this verse here points exactly to the storyline as we presented it to you. He was about done. And then suddenly God sends him this group of people. It's a breath of fresh air, but it doesn't mean it's going to stay awesome. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. David now realizes that that is the most important thing that we can do.
Yeah.
This could be a result of his experience at Gath. I believe Gath taught David, you know what, I never, ever, ever should have done anything but just wait on God. I should have just waited. And with all the things that we address in life, that we have to deal with in life, a lot of times we need to just sit back and wait until we know that we know that we know we're doing what God wants us to do. I'm curious. And be honest. How many of you know that you know that you know what God wants us to do about church security? Raise your hand. Okay? Now would be the worst time in the world to do anything. In a month, if you can't raise your hand and say, I know that I know that I know what God wants to do about church security, we still shouldn't do anything. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Yes, sir.
I just have a curiosity question. In your opinion, do you think that sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes, that little voice in the back of your head is indeed God talking?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I would never trust just yet. It has to fit with God's Word, and it has to fit with the circumstances. There have been times in my life, I'm kind of soft-hearted. I don't know if y'all knew that or not, but I'm kind of soft-hearted. Okay, there's been times in my life when there was a person, say a missionary or something like that, came around and they were presenting their case. They need money, and I happen to have a little bit in the bank, and I'm just absolutely convinced, man, that God wants me to do that, and so I'm tempted to write a check. Okay, just feels like that's what God wants me to do, but I waited till the next day and said, God, are you sure? God, are you sure? And the next thing I know, I get word that God provided that without me doing it. And they come to find out, 2 or 3 weeks later, God did present a need that only I could fulfill. But I would not have been able to fulfill this need had I just jumped at this one. Okay? That voice in the back of our head is one of three different indicators. Maybe all three must agree. Excellent question. Excellent question. Most Christians, and I submit to you, most churches, when they're presented with a problem, let's just fix it. Let's just fix it. It's not how churches operate. It's not how Christians operate. David realizes it's not how he should have operated. I'm convinced of it. I believe he writes his next psalm at this point. Several verses in it hint that he's no longer alone, but it will take a bit to get to them. I believe he wants to help these people who have joined him and uses this particular psalm to show them how he has dealt with difficulty, because their difficulty still exists. Just because they're with him does not mean they're not still having problems. In fact, they're living in a cave. Psalm 35, I believe, comes next. A Psalm of David, verse number 1. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Now, this is something that he can say for himself, and he can teach them to say also, because every one of those 400 people could make the same statement. Take hold a shield and buckler, or put on your shield and armor. Fight for me, and stand up for my help. Draw also out the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. And this is something that God has already done several times and is going to do again several times. Again, I think He's using this to teach the 400 that's with Him. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind. Let the angel of the Lord chase them. Who is the angel of the Lord?
Jesus
Christ Himself. Let their way be dark and slippery. Let the angel of the Lord persecute them. That's the ones who persecute me. By the way, all this security stuff we're talking about, this is a good prayer in searching what God wants us to do about it. Come in, Dan. Yes, sir.
What about the very start of Psalm 27 that you just had up there?
That's about 18 slides back. What did it say?
No, I know, but it was saying that if you believe in God, what are you afraid of? If you believe that He is truly in control, why have any fear?
The answer to that is go walk in 17 and stand there until God stops all the traffic.
Okay.
God expects us to do certain things. Yep. The question is, what is that He expects us to do?
Yep.
Okay. David could have walked right up to Saul and say, Saul, here I am.
Yeah.
Okay. Would that have been what God wanted to do? I submit no. I believe that the actions that David takes in this 15-year period teach us so much more than David just winning a battle with Saul. Answer your question?
Yes.
Good
you.
Question. Give that man a little sticker or something.
Some toothpaste powder.
7. For without cause they hid for me their neck in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. This is a hidden trap. David knows that he's got to make right choices or he's going to get caught. Let destruction come upon him at unawares. Let his net that he hath hid catch himself.
Yeah.
By the way, this is in fact going to happen to Saul. It's going to take us a while to get there. This is going to happen to Saul. Into that very destruction, let him fall. Asking God for justice, but not taking it for himself. My heart, my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in His salvation. Not necessarily that his problem is over, but that God fixed his problem. This is so much more exciting than just not having a problem in the first place. How do I know that? There's so many problems that we have no idea God stopped for us, and we don't thank Him for any one of them.
Yeah, that's right.
Not any one of them.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, who deliverest the poor from him that is too strong for him? Yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him. Quite possibly, and I think probably, referring to those who have joined him, many of which were, in fact, in debt. False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. And I submit to you all, 400 of them probably could make the same statement. They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned to my own bosom. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. Now this no doubt is referring to when Saul was tormented by the evil spirit from God. Folks, you look at those two verses, see David did way more than just play hard. David prayed. David poured out his soul for Saul, and now Saul is chasing him like a fugitive. But in my adversity, they rejoiced. When I had problems, they were happy and gathered themselves together. Yea, the abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me and ceased not. With hypocritical mockers and feasts, they gnashed upon me with their teeth. Folks, it's a terrible, terrible thing to be hurt by those you have helped.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to ask you if you've been there. But quite possibly the reason you have been there is so you can help somebody else who's going through it. By the way, who knows it better than Jesus Himself?
Amen.
But now, David can help many more people. Had David not gone through this problem, these 400 people would just be 400 miserable, unhappy people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can help you.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, how long wilt thou look on? That question is easy to answer unless you're in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy for us to answer that for the life of somebody else. Well, as soon as God gets done with all the stuff He's doing, it's going to end. And that's a very accurate answer that does not come from any emotion whatsoever. But when you're stuck in emotion, when you're wondering if He's going to live or not, it's a whole different story than when you sit here in a nice suit and tie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling from the lions. Who is this, my darling? My darling is Hebrew word 3173 and means only one. That's what it means. It means only one. This could mean he feels alone even with these people. And don't forget, these people are, in fact, a group of misfits. He doesn't have any warriors in this group yet at all. The warriors are still coming. In fact, in my preparation, I'm just getting to them. This group of people, they're not a whole lot of help to him other than just keeping him from being alone. They're certainly not an army. It could mean he feels alone even with these people, or it could be a reference to, anybody got an idea? Only begotten Son. Could be. I'm not going to say one way or the other. 18. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Now this large group is much bigger than those with him. He's referring to when he is king. I submit to you, when he was headed out to the Philistines and even coming back from the Philistines, he's wondering, am I going to be king or not?
Yeah.
God, deliver me from those who tempt me to do wrong. David's not tempted here. David's surrounded by a bunch of people. 19. Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. He knows they're doing it. He knows they're doing it. As we discuss church security, are there people that are thinking about hitting another church? Of course there are. Of course there are. I submit to you that one of the things that protects us most is we're in a crowd of churches. You got to pass several churches just to get to us.
Mm-hmm.
You got to want this one because we're not the most conveniently defined. David knows there are people who want to take him out and those people with him. For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land. Again, probably the group that's joined him. Yea, they opened their mouth wide against me and said, aha, aha, I have seen it. I saw it with my own eyes. He knows the people chasing him or accusing him of all kinds of things. This thou hast seen, O Lord. Keep not in silence. But we must understand that while God is in silence, He's never inactive. He's doing a bunch of stuff. It's just more important than solving my problem.
Uh-huh.
He could very well be equipping me to help somebody else. And that's so valuable. Lord, be not far from me. He knows that God is not far from him. It just feels that way.
Yeah.
Stir up thyself. Awake to my judgment. Pop quiz. With the King James, I'll replace judgment with what?
Justice.
Stir up thyself and awake to my justice. Always replace that. David says, I need your help. Judge me, O Lord my God, according to thy righteousness. Watch the screen very carefully. Never, ever pray this. Well, why not? It's in the Bible. Judge me, O Lord, according to thy righteousness. Don't forget Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
Don't forget Adam and Eve. Okay? God, you laid up in that bed up there and say, God, judge me according to thy righteousness. He drops you right into the pit of hell, except for Jesus stops that from happening. Okay? No matter how bad we got it, it's not hell. Without Jesus, we all deserve to fall in right now. Let them not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, ah, so we would have it. Let them not say, we have swallowed him up. Don't let them win. Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together that rejoice at mine hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves against me. Yeah. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause.
Hey.
Very likely this group that has joined him. But what is he doing to help them? It sounds like he's just crying like he's been doing all along. What is he doing to help them? I believe he's teaching them. I believe at this point, he's beyond literally crying out to God. And he's teaching them how to cry out to God. Why? He is in a position to help them. That's a very strong position to be in. When it comes to this whole security thing, I don't know the answer. I really don't. When I talk to you, I can see every one of your side. But the one thing that I love to be able to do is keep pointing you back, pray, 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 pray. I look at some of these other churches and I wonder if they spent 1 minute in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I suspect strongly that a lot of them said, well, all the other churches are doing this, so we should do that too. Okay? All of the churches can do the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Don't forget that. All the churches can do the wrong thing. We want to do what God wants us to do. I learned that the hard way, and I love being able to teach other people. Keep reminding them over and over, seek God, seek God, seek God. Look at all the people that didn't and how it messed them up. But look at all the people that did and how it solved their problem. Or maybe it didn't. Maybe it just equipped them to help somebody else. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, not the guy that guards the door, unless God said, put a guy at the door.
Yep.
Which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Absolutely the key in a Christian's life. And recognizing God's work is to give Him credit for the things He's already done. It doesn't necessarily mean He's going to do the same thing again. In fact, I submit to you, God rarely does the same exact thing a second time. Rarely does He do that. But He always, always, always shows up. Always. Again, praise is not spooky. This morning at Sunday school, we talked about how that some churches are so heavy on the Holy Spirit and not nearly speak enough about Jesus. But the reason they speak so much about the Holy Spirit is because Baptists, we want to put the Holy Spirit to the side because that's spooky. It's not spooky at all. It's not spooky. It's simply giving God credit for things He has done. Help others do it. I want to encourage you tonight. Seek GPS as we seek God's willingness. Talk to other people and share what you have found. But seek three forms of an answer. You say, well, hey, I'm not getting nothing now. Then talk about that with other people. Brother Coney, stand up for me, please. You're going to be a wonderful illustration for this.
Okay.
Turn around. Okay? He's got ears, he's got eyes, he's got a nose, he's got fingertips, he's got a tongue. Five different senses he can use to discover whatever it is in life he needs to respond to. As they drive home tonight, I don't know if there's trains around here or not, but let's suppose there is. He pulls up to a railroad track and he hears a train, but he sees nothing. Which of his two senses should he listen to? You better add in a third one. You better add in a third one. You listen to the wrong one, you fall astray. But if you don't listen to the right one, you still fall astray. We are a body of Christ here. God has made each of us a different part. He's going to reveal different things to us, but we've got to communicate. Not arguing back and forth, thank you can be seated. If we argue back and forth, all we do is we struggle and fight ourselves and wear ourselves out and accomplish nothing. But when one of us says, you know what, I believe God's saying this. And one of us is saying, you know what, I just don't see how he could be saying that. I'm going to give you an example. Just one example, a thing that I see. Okay? If we decide to park somebody at the door, who's it going to be? Okay, that's an answer that I cannot come up with. Now, we can assign it to DJ. But if DJ doesn't feel from inside, God wants me to do this, DJ will do it two or three times and that's about it. We're right back where we started.
Right.
Okay? I submit to you that part of GPS is going to be somebody to take care of this. I think that's a no-brainer that has to be included in finding what God wants us to do. All right? God, if you want this, show us someone who wants to do it. God can do that. God absolutely can do that. Maybe it's Dan. Dan, you got a gun on you? I'm going to take that as a yes. That, I know it's not me. You know why? I can't come on Wednesday night, so I can't do it on Wednesday night. During my preaching, I'm up here. I'm not going to be shooting from up here. Okay? But at the same time, is it something God has laid on your heart and you just haven't said anything to anybody? These are things we need to be discussing. The eyes need to communicate with the ears, need to communicate with the tongue, need to communicate with the nose, need to communicate with the fingertips. We have to work together to determine what God wants us to do. We have to help others determine what God wants us to do. And I submit to you, this helping each other is more of an accomplishment than solving the problem of church security.
Yeah.
It's possible that the whole church security thing is nothing more than God saying, I want to put you in practice as a church of seeking my will. And that's an accomplishment. Father, thank you for your word.
Amen.
Thank you so much that you give us exactly what we need if we'll simply wait on the Lord. Thank you that right now there's nobody pointing a gun at us. We don't have to respond this moment. But Father, don't let us wait and just hope it never happens. Help us to use this opportunity to seek your will in healthy ways that don't just fall in what we personally want. But help us to work together and make this something that actually makes this church stronger and not just because we added a security measure. Thank you for the privilege of being part of your church. Thank you for the privilege of working together with this group of people to find what you want. Lord, thank you for using me to help them. And I thank you for the way you use them to help me. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.